You are now listening to New Life Church Podcast with Pastor Philip Benavides. We pray you receive this message and continue to thrive on His Word. New Life Church, instructed by His Word, empowered by His Spirit.
Welcome everyone, once again to New Life Church. I haven't put anything on the podcast in like a month, so I'm just going to go through real quick what we've been going over, and I'm going to place this one on podcast. I'm not going to preach everything I've been preaching the past couple of weeks, but just to give us, we're on the last verse of Matthew 28, the very last verse. I believe it's verse 20 is what we'll pick up. But let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord God, above all things, we ask that you be glorified in this place. Father God, as Brother Manny prayed, Lord God, strengthen us, Lord God. Equip us, Father God. Lord God, we know the battle's already been won. We have victory in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. Lord God, I pray that you speak to us today by your word, by your spirit, and that we would leave here blessed and encouraged, changed and transformed by the truth of your word and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Everyone say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, okay, last week, again, we were on the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 18 through 20. We talked about our need for Christ. Amen. This world has a hunger, I believe. There are people that have a hunger. They may not even realize what they're hungry for, but they're hungry. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? They're hungry. And Matthew 5:6 says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. And let me just say it out loud, brother. We're right here together as a family. Amen. Amen. For those listening to my podcast, I was just made aware that I was holding the mic upside down. Amen. So we picked up in Matthew 28. Jesus, now listen to me. How many of you ever looked up the last words of somebody before they passed away, or the last words before they die? I look into stuff like that, and I'm amazed at what some of the people's last words are. Well, we know that Jesus was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. But the last words he says to his disciples before he ascended into heaven was the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where the Word of God tells us, Jesus speaking, all power in heaven and earth are mine. Amen. All power in heaven and earth are mine. This is to give us an understanding and a clarity, because a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Beatitudes. And what does he say? When you walk like this, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be attack. There's going to be opposition. Listen, as long as you're running with the devil, he don't really mess with you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But the moment you try to start getting your life right, here he comes, and he attacks, and he has one aim, and it is to defeat you. It is to knock you off your standing. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We may fall. Listen, we may get knocked down, but as believers in Jesus Christ, man, we always get back up, and we keep on pressing forward, because even though we're in a battle, we know the war's already been won, and victory is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So he tells us, listen, I want to send you out into this world. I'm gonna send you out. And the reason you understand this is because you have nothing to fear.
That's right.
You have nothing to worry about. The great one, the awesome God, the mighty God. Come on, somebody. He lives and he dwells within you. And that's what Jesus is saying. Listen, when you go out, remember, you go in full authority.
Yes.
You're going in full power.
Yes.
Amen. Power to trample on serpents and scorpions. Yes. Come on, somebody. Power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then he says, go therefore, amen, and make disciples of all nations. He was talking to a lot of imperfect people. Come on, somebody. Apart from Jesus Christ, I'm looking at a lot of imperfect people in this room. Come on, somebody. But how many of you know with Christ? Come on, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he says this, he says to these disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, amen, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, amen. So when you, listen, you may be here today saying, well, you know, I'm not all that. Listen, don't ever let anything keep you from testifying about Jesus Christ,
amen.
Listen, Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you,
Amen. You know, brother, when you prayed a while ago, a lot of the things you said were in my scripture reading this morning. It's amazing. The very things you pray from the serpent coming down, I mean, from the woman crushing Satan with the heel. I mean, all those scriptures I read this morning. It's just amazing. But it just goes to show you, but even way back in the Genesis of time, listen, we have been given victory through Christ Jesus. Amen. So again, we left last week with teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm just going to touch on those two verses. If you would, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 6 in the New Living Translation. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. That's what's important. Listen, if you're listening by podcast and maybe you're not in a church, find a church that's going to preach the Word of God. Amen. That's what we do here in New Life Church. Listen, we're not the only church, but when God saved me, man, He saved me by His Word and He saved me by His Spirit. Yeah. Our motto here in New Life Church is we are instructed by His Word and we are empowered by His Spirit. Yeah. Amen. That's our motto here in New Life Church. Yeah. And so it's important that we understand that the Word of God is here to teach you that the Word of God would take root in your lives and manifest itself in your life to where we are living godly lives. Come on, somebody. That we are living in a way that as representatives of Jesus Christ and as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I miss it sometimes. Listen, I think we all do one way or another. Come on, somebody. It may not always be what you do, but it may be what you're not doing. Amen. And so there is such a thing of sins of omission. There's things that maybe we're not praying like we should. Maybe we're not reading like we should. Listen, the enemy is crafting, and he is very good. How many of you ever noticed when it's time for your prayer time or you want to read the Bible a little bit, the phone will ring. Somebody will want you. The dog will start barking or the baby will start crying. Come on, somebody. You know why? Because, listen, you have a real enemy who wants to distract you. And that's why I've taught you here in New Life Church before, one of the most important things you can do every single day is make that quiet time with God. Get in the presence of God. Amen. Before you turn on the TV, before you check Facebook, come on, put your face in His book and get into the Word of God. Get into the presence of God. Amen. Listen, how are relationships built? Communication. I have a friend, Bob, sitting back there. He's been my friend since, man, I think we was in preschool. I don't know. But you know why we're still friends? Even though we don't see each other. I probably haven't seen him in a couple of years, but we still communicate. Amen. You see what I'm saying? That's what builds relationships. Communication. And what does God, what do we always say about Christianity? Christianity isn't a religion. It's a what? Relationship. So how do you, if you want a strong relationship, you got to have communication. Amen. You got to talk with the Lord. You got to listen for the Lord. You got to do what God says to do. Amen. You got to walk in obedience. And that's what the Word of God does. That's what Jesus says. Teach them to observe all the things I've commanded you. I like what Paul writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, because in Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, listen to this. Paul writes, some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. These teachings promote what? A godly life. Amen. That's what the Word of God is supposed to. When you leave here today, you're supposed to be saying, man, I want to live a godly life. I want to do better. I know I may not be. I may be struggling right here. But man, I want to do better. Come on, somebody. I want to do better. And I want to live a godly life. It goes on and it says, anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks their understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. Yes. Amen. Look at verse 5. The Word of God continues. I love this chapter right here. The Word of God continues in verse 5. It says, these people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, listen to this. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Amen. I'm going to put on a show for you. I'm going to do some things that are just, I just want to get wealth and I just want to get material wealth. Listen, we need to give because God commands it. Jesus commends it. But when your aim is to get rich off of God, you've missed it. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Listen to me. Matthew 6:33 says it clear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. and all things will be added. What does this mean? Is wealth wrong? Is material wealth wrong? No, it's not wrong. But anything that takes the place of God in your life is. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And when you put God first, listen, be assured that He is going to provide every single thing you need. Are y'all with me, somebody? He says it right here. He says some people use a form of godliness just to get wealthy. But listen to what Paul writes to Timothy. But yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. What does that mean? That means to be happy and to be satisfied with where you are, knowing that God is with you, knowing He won't fail you. Come on, somebody. Pastor, is it wrong for me to desire more? If your desire for more is greater than your desire for more of God, it's wrong. Are y'all with me, somebody?
Amen.
Paul is saying true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. I mean, I'm rich. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
I'm rich. Man, I'm forgiven. Come on, somebody. I'm seated with Christ. He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings. Come on, somebody. I have the ability to ask, knowing it shall be given. To seek, knowing I shall find. To knock, and the door will be open. Man, He's given His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Brothers and sisters, you're looking at a blessed man right now.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. You're looking at a blessed man right now. Amen. You see, Pastor, you live in a mansion? No, but I got a mansion waiting on me. Come on, somebody. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Let me make one thing clear. Nothing against material wealth. Just don't let your aim for that take the place of your aim for God.
Amen.
Make that very clear. Paul goes on to Timothy in verse 7. And the Word of God reads, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. True godliness with itself is with contentment is great wealth. He says, listen, after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. And we can't take anything with us when we leave it.
Amen.
How many of you know that's true?
Amen.
Verse 8 goes on. So if we have enough food and clothing, be what?
Content.
Amen. Ain't nobody in this room look like they're starving. Come on, somebody. Nobody in this room looks like they're starving. Everybody looks well fed, even Manuel. Come on, somebody. Even though he works out and takes care of his body, he's eating good. He's eating healthy. Amen. Everybody in here is dressed. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And so what is Paul saying? Listen, let your aim and your focus and your relationship with God be greater than any other desire that you have.
Hallelujah.
That's what he said. Because when that is right, when your relationship with God is right, man, everything is going to be taken care of. Are y'all with me? I like Hebrews 13:5 in the New Living Translation and in my notes, but this is just to give us a better understanding. Because what Paul is saying is, even what he wrote to those in Philippi in chapter 4 of Philippians, he said, here's the secret of life, to be content with the things that you have. Remember, Paul said, look, I've been hungry, I've been full, I've had much, I've had little, but I've learned the secret of life, and it is to be content with the things that I have.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:5 reiterates it. Listen, don't love what?
Money.
Be satisfied with what? With what you have. Okay, well, okay, but I don't have a whole lot. Why should I be happy? Why should I be satisfied? Because God has said, I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to forsake you. You see what I'm saying? So no matter what situation you find yourself in, oh, my wife is sick. Oh, the enemy's trying to bring fear. My goodness, I don't know what to do. Here's one thing I can do is trust the Word of God, because I know He's not going to fail us. He's not going to leave us. Amen. He's not. So I can be content. I can be happy. I can be satisfied. I can rejoice in the Lord, knowing that the God I serve is greater than anything or anyone that could come against me. That's the Word of God. Are y'all with me, somebody? So be content. And that's the teachings of Jesus Christ, meant to live a godly life, to equip you, to empower you, to teach you what a disciple of Jesus Christ looks like, to teach you that you have all authority and all power. Are y'all with me, somebody?
Amen.
The very last verse, and I'm not going to go too much longer. We'll get to there. Okay, amen. 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 So let me see where we're at. So here's the last thing he says before Jesus ascends. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
In Matthew 28, verse 20, here's the last thing he says. And I enjoy this scripture so much, because he's ascending into heaven. Amen. He's going up. Amen. And his disciples are looking at him. And remember, he's just told them, I got all power and authority. You got it too. Amen. Go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And listen to this last part. And be sure of this. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, be sure of this. What does he want you to be sure of this? Jesus, listen, he says, be sure of this. What? Be sure of what? I am with you always.
Yes, Lord.
Huh? I'm with you always. Huh? even to the end of the age.
Amen.
What a powerful statement. Let me just teach on this for about 5 minutes, maybe eight. Amen. Lo, I am with you always. Listen, the promise of his presence is complete. Amen. I don't tell these guys what to sing when we have worship. Lewis will send me a list and he'll say, here's what I'm playing. And I say, all right. And everything we sang today was about his presence. Amen. More of his presence, in his presence. And that's what Jesus is wanting us to know, that he is with you. The promise of his presence is complete. What does that mean? Listen, his presence means protection because we're never out of his sight. Are y'all with me? I'm going to say it again. His presence means protection because we're never out of his sight. God's got your back. He's given us an armor. He's given us an armor. Amen. He says, listen, put on, gird yourself with the belt of truth. Amen. Gird yourself with the belt of truth and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And yes, put on that breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And he says, and above all things, take with you the shield of faith so that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And then he says this, and take with you the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Which is the word of God. See, he's given us an offensive weapons, the spiritual weapons that we find. And if you notice, the spiritual weapons that he's describing all go right back to the word of God. Wow. Are y'all with me? Gird yourself with the belt of truth. What is truth? Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word, O God, is truth. And then he says, guard your heart with the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. You may mess up and Satan may come to condemn, but remember 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin so that you may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what, listen, you may fail. Listen, and never do I condone or does the word of God condone sin. Sin always has a price to pay. But here's the point. You are not righteous because you do it all right. You are righteous because he has done it all right. And he has imputed righteousness into you. Are y'all with me, somebody? And then he says, guard your, put on the helmet of salvation. That word salvation is deliverance. It doesn't just mean you're saved. It means that every situation you find yourself in, he just said it, rescue me, I'll deliver you, I'll deliver you, I'll deliver you. Put on, guard your mind, because the enemy is going to try to bring fear. He's going to try to bring worry. He's going to try to intimidate you with his lies. But if you fill yourself with the truth of my word, you'll know that I am still a deliverer and I will deliver you. Are y'all with me, somebody? And that's what he is saying, man. Put on that helmet of salvation. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take with you the shield of faith. He says, above all, take with you the shield of faith. So these are the weapons that he has given us. Notice there's no weapon for what's behind us. You know why? Isaiah told us, because he says, I will watch your back. Amen. God says, I will watch your back. Are y'all with me, somebody? Amen and amen. God is saying, I will watch your back. So notice that the promise of his presence is complete. His promise of his presence means protection. Amen. David sang this song on the day the Lord rescued him from all of his enemies. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 through 3 in the New Living Translation. Man, I'm hot. Are y'all with me, somebody? Amen. Are y'all with me? Listen to this. How many know that his presence is with us?
Amen.
How many of you felt his presence a moment ago when we were in worship?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Man, what a... He's always here. Amen. But sometimes he makes his presence more known. Come on, somebody. See, I'm in the room with you right now, and you know I'm present. But if I was to go up to you and put my arm around you, I just made my presence a little more. I just magnified it a little more. Come on, somebody. And that's how God does it. Amen. But I want you to understand, when Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, man, I want you to hear what David wrote. He sang this song. Listen to this. He sang, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. Come on, somebody. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. Listen to this. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. Amen. In whom I've... What do you think? Every time we leave here, I pray that God keep us from violence and from any type of accident. And Psalms 91:11 reiterates, and he says, I've given my angels charge over you to keep you in all... I've seen my angels. I've shared that with you. They're massive. They're mighty. The swords that these angels pulled out were probably 6 foot long. And they're mighty, mighty, massive angels from the army of Almighty God. Are y'all with me, somebody? But listen to David. He says, he is my shield and the power that saves me, and my place of safety. He is my refuge, my Savior, the one who saves me from what? From violence. Know that God is with you. Amen. Declare these things. Amen. When the enemy tries to bring fear, when the enemy tries to bring doubt or worry, it's up to you and I to declare these things. It's up to you and I to speak these things. Amen. Listen, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, amen, there's something about speaking these things. I'm not talking about name it and claim it. Are y'all with me, somebody? But the Bible says in Genesis 1:27 that we were created in the image of God. And if you look at Genesis chapter 1, the whole world was created because God said, God said, God said, God said, and there was. So when we feel fear coming on us, when we fear doubt coming on us, when we feel that the enemy is trying to bring something against us, man, it's up to us to open our mouths just like David and say, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is the rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield and the power that saves me. He is my place of safety. He is my refuge, my Savior, and the one who keeps me from violence. These words need to come out of your mouth. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you that his presence is protection. You don't have to fear. I'm not saying we put ourselves in a bad situation or in a bad predicament, but know that God is with you. Amen. Wherever you, he says, listen, I'll be with you even to the end of the ages. Yes. You say, Pastor, what about if I die? Well, what did David say? Yeah, come on. What, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
yes,
I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Amen. Amen. Even in death, man, you close your eyes and with a smile, because before your eyelids touch, you're going to open your eyes in glory in the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
His presence. Come on, somebody. His presence is complete. He is always with you. Not only does his presence mean protection, but his presence means power. Amen. Paul wrote to those in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but is living by God's power. Amen. It's not just talk. Come on, somebody. Listen, God is still a healer. Come on, somebody. How many of you know that God is still a deliverer? He is still the way maker. He is still a God of restoration. He is still the same God. He is still a God who can open a door that no man can shut and shut a door that no man can open. He is still the same Almighty God. And he is his power, his presence not only means protection, but power. Amen. Let me just read this to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. I'm almost done. Are y'all getting this, somebody?
Yes, Lord.
His presence. Say this with me. Say, his presence.
His presence.
Is protection.
His protection.
Say, his presence.
His presence.
Is power.
Power.
Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul writing to those in Ephesus. And he writes, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Amen. Listen to this. This is the same mighty power. Look at verse 20. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms.
Amen.
How many of you believe that Jesus Christ rose up again?
Yes.
Paul is writing to those in Ephesus, and he's writing to you here on New Life Church, and he's writing to those listening by podcast. He says, I want you to understand the power that is available to you. You say, what kind of power? You know, the same power that rose Jesus Christ up out of the grave. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:10, I believe it is, or 2:10, to know him and the power of his resurrection. Come on, somebody. Man, I'm talking about that's power. That's might. That's faith to move mountains. Come on, somebody. Man, I'm telling you, his presence means power. And the last thing, his presence means peace. Amen. How many of you need peace in your life? Come on, somebody. Amen. Peace is not the absence of destruction or hurt or harm. It's just the confidence that God is with you. And what does Jesus say? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. His presence is peace. You know, we cry and sometimes we hurt and sometimes we get sad. You know, the other day, my daughter took Aubrey to the hospital and you know, just to check her out. And, you know, she began to cry just like I do when my wife is not feeling well. And, you know, the enemy is very good at trying to bring fear and doubt. How many of you know that? He's very good at bringing the worst news. But in the midst of all that, when we take our focus off of that and put them on Jesus, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's a peace and a confidence that you're saying, you know what? I might be going through this storm, but you know what? I serve a God who quiets the storm.
Amen.
Amen. I serve a God who is greater than this storm. And so I want you to understand that when you know that Christ is with you, you can have that peace. I like what he wrote in John 14, beginning at verse 25. Before he wrote God here, he was telling his disciples about his departure and how he would be crucified. And in John 14, 1 through 6, stay right there. But in John 14, 1 through 6, I like what he says. The first thing he says, this is the first scripture I ever taught my daughter when she was a little child. It was John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. That's what Jesus is saying to you right now. That's what he's saying to me right now. Listen, whatever you're up against, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Thomas said, Lord, how can we know where you're going and how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can't have peace without me. Come on, somebody. You can't have joy without me. I am the way to peace. I am peace. Come on, somebody. He is the Prince of Peace. Come on, somebody. And here in verse 25, I like what he says. He says, listen, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. Verse 26, he says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. What did Jesus say? Teach them everything. Now look what he's saying. He will teach you everything. And he will remind you of everything I've told you.
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift. Jesus is ascending. His disciples are looking up saying, what are we going to do? Our leaders, he's going away. What am I going to do here all by myself? Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And I'm also leaving you a gift. And what is the gift? Peace of mind and heart.
Amen.
Amen. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give you.
Amen.
So don't be troubled or don't be afraid. See, we got a lot of people today, and I was one of them, searching this world all over, trying to fill this void in my life. And I never understood that there was only one who could do it. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so people, please understand, when Jesus is sending out his disciples, one of the last things, in fact, the last thing he says to them is, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. And when Jesus says he will be with you, listen, he will be with you. He will be with you to protect you. He will be with you to direct you. He will be with you to comfort you. He will be with you to strengthen you. And in the very end, he will crown you with immortality and glory. And we will spend an eternity in the presence of Almighty God. What an amazing promise that Jesus Christ gives us in this great commission. Are y'all with me, somebody?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand what this world needs more than anything. What people need more than anything is a relationship with Jesus Christ. God's not looking for a perfect man or woman because there is none. Amen?
Yep.
He's not looking for a perfect man or woman. He's just looking for a man or woman who recognizes their need for him. Remember Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen. For theirs is the kingdom of God. He's just looking for a man or woman who can say, you know what? I've searched this world all over and I'm still empty. I've tried this and I've tried that and I'm still empty. I might have fun, but when I wake up the next day, I'm still empty.
Come on now.
And God is saying, let me fill you.
Amen.
Let me fill you.
Amen.
And I know I'm looking at a lot of people here this morning who are filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Who know that God is their protector. Who know that God will empower you and know the peace of God because you've gone through things.
Yes.
Amen. You've gone through things. I know a lot of your stories in this room. Amen. And we go through things. And it may get difficult and we may come to a point in our lives where we say, I don't think I can make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But look at you still making it.
Amen.
You're still doing it. You're still pressing forward. Because you know that he is with you. Amen. Amen. Father God, we love you. We thank you. Father, above all things, I ask that you be glorified in this place. Father God, show yourself mighty. Let us walk with the assurance that your presence is with us. And Father God, let us walk with the assurance that nothing and no one can ever come against us. Because your word tells us in Romans 8:31, since you are for us, who then shall be against us?
Amen.
Father God, we love you. Let us walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Father God, I thank you for everyone here today, Lord God. Let every need be met. Father God, if there's fear, if there's doubt, if there's worry, Lord, bring comfort. Bring peace, bring joy. And Father God, I lift up my wife and I come in agreement with my brother Manny. Lord God, I thank you. Even now as we speak, Father God, as I speak, stretch forth your hand and touch her. And Lord God, when we go to the hospital, the doctor tomorrow, Father, we're believing for a good report. Lord God, we know nothing's impossible with you. You are the great I am. And Father, we love you. Lord God, be with us as we enter a new week. Bless us, strengthen us, protect us, guide us, lead us by your Spirit. And heal us, Father God, physically, mentally, spiritually. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen.
Amen.
And amen.